The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back for the final hour of the show at 8:03. Sun is up bright and shiny with 70 degrees ahead. And then, boy, did we tank. Whole lot of snow maybe for the weekend, rest of the weekend after a beautiful, beautiful day. My last Harley ride for who knows how long. But I'm grateful. I'll take the sun when it comes. And love your phone calls. Got only one line open right now. If you want to fill that one up, feel free. 303-696-1971. Got this interview with Anderson Cooper, who had just coincidentally had on Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst, and James Clapper, former CIA director James Clapper. And they were going to be talking about impeachment and the impeachment investigation and the raid by Republicans on the Star Chamber and all of those kinds of things. And then a new piece of news came out. And let me just tease this up with a clip or two, and then we'll get right to the phones.
CNN's Evan Perez reports that Attorney General William Barr's probe into the origins of the 2016 Russia investigation has now expanded into a criminal probe, according to a person familiar with the matter.
Dumb.
The New York Times first reported this just earlier tonight. Here's a key passage from the New York Times, quoting, "The move gives the prosecutor running it, John H. Durham, the power to subpoena witness testimony and documents, to impanel a grand jury, and to file criminal charges." Jeff, explain why this is significant.
Well, as you quoted, once there's a criminal investigation, the prosecutors have criminal process. They can get search warrants. They can get grand jury subpoenas. They can bring people to a grand jury. You know, it ratchets up the pressure on the people who are the subjects of the investigation. It's important to point out that just because there is a criminal investigation doesn't mean any crime occurred, much less that specific people committed a crime. But for the people who have been the targets of what seems like a right-wing conspiracy theory, you know, led by Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, it's got to be an unnerving experience to know that this is now ratcheted up to that level.
God, a legal analyst, a right-wing conspiracy theory. Now, the Russia collusion delusion that resulted in 2 years and $30 or $40 million and lives ruined, disheartened Trump, presidential administration employees sent home, bent and broken, day after day after day. This was, we're getting to the bottom of it. We're going to get the truth. Donald Trump is a Russian agent. Donald Trump committed treason. Now that was reported as news on CNN. But now it's a right-wing conspiracy theory that the Trump administration is empowering its Justice Department to use the tools, the criminal tools, the tools of criminal investigation to intimidate and terrify its victims. That's basically the message that you're going to hear day after day after day as this thing unfolds. You saw it immediately when it was announced that this was becoming a criminal investigation. In the New York Times, when they broke the story, then went on for paragraph after paragraph to talk about how the Trump administration is now, you know, utilizing or empowering its own agency to try and shut down the people who are going after this president and trying to expose his wrongdoing. No tiny bit of, remember, Anderson Cooper is supposed to be presenting news. These are supposed to be news analysts, not a, well, let's wait and see where this criminal investigation goes. Attorney General Barr has always had the highest of integrity, the highest of. Remember when they said that about Mueller? They never talked about the horrible behavior of Mueller as a prosecutor, as the head of the FBI, keeping people in jail, knowing, covering up lies in order to get convictions. Just a horrific history. He was always the stalwart, the standard bearer for unbiased investigations, bipartisan investigations. But now the attorney general and Huber, who's never been called into doubt for his aggressive but fair-minded approach to prosecutions, are now tools of the Trump administration to try and divert the news story from the impeachment inquiry, the Star Chamber hidden from view impeachment inquiry. Tubin went on.
And for those who believe that the Justice Department and Attorney General Barr in particular is essentially, you know, being a henchman for President Trump, this will only reinforce that idea.
I mean, when you consider all the legal issues facing the United States of America, the Attorney General has traveled to Italy and other places around the world on this, what seems to me, wild goose chase, is really remarkable, but it shows how much this obsession with showing that the Russia investigation was somehow illegitimate at its inception has been a guiding principle of this Justice Department.
See how they do that? As some people believe, they throw the narrative out there that they want, and they get the answers to the questions that they already knew were there in order to create this new theme, this new pushback that every mainstream media outlet will jump on in order to try and diminish the seriousness of what's happening in the Department of Justice and try and get the focus on back onto the so-called impeachment inquiry that's going on in the basement of the Capitol. It is remarkable to watch these people at work. And we're going to take the phone calls now. But when we get done with the calls and you hear the next clip, this will be James Clapper, who is a target of one of these investigations. And just, you will, the dude sounds nervous. Let's just leave it at that. Let's see who's been waiting the longest here. Looks like Diane up in Morrison. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. I am the author of a book that you have of mine, Too High a Price for Harmony, A Perspective on School Shootings. It's about basically how we've assimilated dangerous Marxist ideas, and they are at the root of creating these school shooters. It's about opposition and the Hegelian dialect, chaos theory. Anyway, this is all going on in the schools, as well as what Andrew Pollack has observed. I'd like to get together with him because I live that every day, you know, where kids are tearing up the room and cursing and all day long, and they just stand by and watch them do it, and they say, oh, well, you know, they come from a tragedy or something bad in their family. Well, what they're doing is creating these criminals and creating bullies and creating school shooters. Actually, if you read my book, you might agree with me. All these things going on in the school system, all these violations of the United States Constitution by government officials of sanctuary cities, violators of laws that exist. In fact, all this sex education, it comes from assimilating Marxist ideas about things. You know, to the Marxist, equality is sameness. The girls are the same as boys. Do we realize how we've been taken over by Marxist ideas in this nation? And the thing is that, you know, we withstand our president getting accused of everything that the left is doing by Pelosi. Oh, no one is above the law. Well, how about Hillary Clinton? Now, evidently, she's above the law. Evidently, every government official of every sanctuary city is above the law. Evidently, the school system's above the Hatch Amendment pupil protection laws that exist. My question is, why isn't anybody, the Republican Party, fighting against these things? We're just laying down and taking this beating, and it doesn't matter who's president. Because we have President Trump now,
Diane, you've asked a question, and let me answer it. I appreciate the call very, very much. We're not lying down. We're not lying down at all. Would I like to see more out of the Colorado State Republican Party right now? Yes. Do I know that they've been traveling from county to county to county and getting out great messages that Christy Burton Brown, the vice chairman, is one of the best spokesmen I've ever seen for the Colorado State GOP, that Ken Buck, when I interviewed him last week on the Peter Boyle Show, said that, and again, looking ahead to 2020, I wish we had more organization for these 2019 school board races and everything else, but that money will be pouring in for Gardner and Trump here in Colorado, that he supports President Trump, that he has asked President Trump to come to Colorado, that he believes, as a sitting congressman and chairman of the Colorado State GOP, that Trump will be here in Colorado. I don't know how else we fight back when we've been asleep at the wheel for decades, other than celebrating when something like the Department of Justice investigation into the origins of the Russia collusion delusion has turned criminal, when people are actually going to be able to be brought in for grand jury testimony or be forced to declare to claim the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in order to avoid testifying, then maybe be granted immunity so that they still have to testify anyway. I mean, that is fighting back. And the message for Republicans and the message for Diane and the message for everybody is, if you want to know what it takes to win in politics in the 21st century, just take a look at your president. Just take a look at the man who, for the very first political office he ever ran for, chose the presidency. And in the face of every level of pushback, even people like me, who wanted someone who I knew was grounded in constitutional conservative principles and was elected to go to Cleveland to fight for Ted Cruz, and had real doubts about who this president was based on his history and his life and the fact that, you know, was pro-choice for a long time, has been a Democrat, supported Democrats, and not understanding anything about the fact that the president's been watching Christian television since the 80s, that the president has been, you know, having to play both sides of the political spectrum to advance his business interests and all of that. Just not understanding that he would actually mean what he said. Not knowing that for the last 30 years in interviews, Donald Trump was talking about foreign trade and bad trade deals and putting America first and staying out of Middle East wars and all of those kinds of things. In the face of all of that, he won the presidency. And it took him a year or so to get his feet under him, to understand the power he had, the platform he had, to realize that the media and people in the government whose job was to support the president, regardless of which political party is, you know, carry out his policies, carry out his vision, were actually there to try and stymie him every step of the way. And still, day after day, fights back, calls him out, doesn't take the name-calling and the fantasy-making lying down, pushes back with every tool he has, especially now these walking to the helicopter little press gaggles and his Twitter account. That is fighting back. Supporting this president is fighting back. Supporting Louis Huey from the Proud Boys, having him in here today to talk. What an impressive young man he is. Man, if I would have met somebody like him in my 20s out of college, well, I wasn't in college then, but in my 20s or in my 30s, I could have been inspired to be paying attention long before I finally did, and maybe made a real difference, had a real impact on the world, instead of just trying to chip away day after day, time after time, a Stand With ICE rally, having a controversial guest, pushing back against the messaging that the president is bad or he shouldn't call people opponents who want him tried for treason and dragged out of the White House in handcuffs, shouldn't call them scum or human scum Ooh, what a bad word. I love the fight of this president. I encourage Republicans and people who are running as Republicans or running to push back on the leftist encroachment into our schools and our society and everything else to learn from the fight that this president has in him. Doesn't mean you've got to take on his personality. Doesn't mean you've got to agree with everything he says or does. It means you've got to stand up and fight for the future of this country or it is going down the tubes. And I know 2019 is just around the corner. Ballots are in our hands right now. But 2020 is where the future of America will be decided. And it's why I can't really stay away from it. Phones are rocking and people want to talk about Cory Gardner. And so before I mentioned this in the 6 o'clock, but for folks who weren't with us, before I mention this story, let's see what questions or comments we have from the listeners first. We'll start with Marilyn in Denver. Marilyn, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I had just turned you on at 8 o'clock, and so I didn't know if you had addressed Cory Gardner's lack of signing the resolution.
I did.
Did you? And I'm sorry I missed that.
It's all right.
I was dreaming. But
what's your thought on it?
I called his offices. He has like 3 or 4 offices in Colorado, and I called them and I left messages because nobody picked up. I am furious.
Well, let me make your day for you.
Okay.
Because you are not alone. I received countless text messages and I communicated directly with Cory Gardner's campaign people on this issue. Yeah. I got instant responses. And let people know that Republicans, that if Cory needs to take a stand, if he's not going to sign it, we damn well need to know why, or he needs to sign it. And you obviously have not wasted a single penny on a Denver Post home subscription, or you would know it is the headline, the front page headline in the Denver Post as well. Senator Gardner joins resolution slamming impeachment inquiry.
So
he signed on. He signed
on.
He signed on yesterday, and the only Democrats. So that's a Freudian slip. The only Republicans. There are now 50 signers on the resolution. The only three.
Okay.
Can you guess who the three might be that still haven't signed?
Alaska.
Yep, Murkowski.
Maine.
Collins.
Maine,
Susan Collins.
And tell me the third. I can't.
Pierre.
Get old Pierre.
Pierre Delecto. Utah's very own severely conservative dog on the roof carrying Mitt Romney.
I tell you, I went to Red Rocks when he came into town, and it was a big, huge, you know, rock star kind of moment for Mitt Romney. And I realized I was a sucker, along with all those people at Red Rocks supporting him for the run for presidency that time. And I sit back and I go, isn't it amazing the lack of understanding who we're really voting for? And yet Trump is completely the queen's talking in your face, just not your typical politician. And I will vote for that kind of person left and right. I will. I really will.
And what you see is what you get with Trump.
Exactly. And I appreciate him going through losing money, not taking any money, being the president, having his kids just sacrificed and being ridiculed the way that he's being ridiculed. And he's not doing it for himself. You know this man's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for the country. And they've got to stop him. They have absolutely got to stop him. And this is what I see as what they did to the Tea Party in, 2010? They undermined it. They lied. They used the IRS. They did everything to squelch the power of the people to move and take a hold of something. This is how, and it was the Republicans that also were doing it.
Yeah, they let them. Marilyn, we have got to stop it there. But just, you know, when you see the Democrats acting and reacting in such a just the flailing and wailing, you know we've got them right where we want them. All right, we'll come back with Joe, and I'll play James Clapper for you on CNN. You will love You think the dude knows that the gig is up? You shall see if you stay with us. Right here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We sidetracked away from the CNN interview yesterday of, or day before, night before last, of Jeffrey Toobin and James Clapper with Anderson Cooper on CNN after the announcement that the administrative investigation into the beginnings of the Russia collusion delusion has changed from an administrative investigation into a criminal investigation. And we did so because people wanted to talk about Cory Gardner, and Cory Gardner has now signed on. 50 of the 53 U.S. senators have signed on to the resolution decrying the Star Chamber mentality and approach toward the impeachment of this president. And so I commend Cory Gardner for making that decision. Joe wants to talk about Cory Gardner, so we'll do that, and then I'll play James Clapper for you. Joe, welcome.
I am so encouraged, Randy. This is awesome. I was on the other side with Cory Gardner, and in one fell swoop, the wisdom that he utilized has welcomed him back into the big tent. Thank you, Cory Gardner, for becoming a Republican again.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, that the people that I was talking to and encouraging to reach out to Cory and others who reached out to me were saying the same thing. Republicans have a right to know where you Republicans in Colorado have a right to know where you stand on this issue. And to his great credit, and who knows, maybe it was in the works, hadn't gotten to it yet, hadn't read it yet. I no idea how much influence we had. But the bottom line is people said, Senator, we need to know where you stand. And the senator came down on the right side of this particular issue.
I think he had an epiphany. It's just like, the Never Trumpers, or, well, some people that were supporting others in the election in 2016 had an epiphany. Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. And that has to be the fight in which we stand. We've got to understand that Donald Trump is the fulcrum point for not only this election, but for freedom in this United States. We have to make a stand with Donald Trump. If we don't, it will move, like Diane said, to the left. You know, earlier, I think she misses one point. It does matter who is president. When the president is a far left person like Barack Obama, all of these things happen that are allowed to happen in our schools because no one is there to say no.
Well, Joe,
I'm so excited.
You've done a great job. And how's your excitement level at the fact that, in fact, since you're here with me for a second, we've got open lines now, 303-696-1971. Celebrate with me the first response by James Clapper to the news that the Russia collusion delusion administrative investigation had now become a criminal investigation. Take a listen.
Director Clapper, as the man who, you know, was there and oversaw the launch of the Russia investigation, what do you make of this?
Well, I'm very curious, since presumably I guess I'm one of those under investigation. And
and you just heard about this?
Yes.
And Joe, I'm sure you've heard James Clapper many times when he was talking about Russia collusion and all of the illegality and violations and improprieties of this president. Have you ever heard him quite so stuttery and unsure of his words?
Mr. Magoo just had an epiphany too.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing is when he says that, he's lying, because he knew all along he was part of the conspiracy. They knew it. They were all part of it. The idea that they didn't know anybody was going to catch on is a joke. Everybody knew in the Obama administration, and now everybody in this administration are finding out.
It has been very difficult to watch how slowly the wheels of justice begin to turn as the underlying investigation has been going on. I had high confidence when Attorney General Barr was appointed. I did a lot of reading about him. His religious presentation, a defense of religion and Western civilization in the United States of America, in his 40-minute speech to the law school at Notre Dame last week, we played a bunch of it on the show last week, re-inspired me to the belief that this is a man of principle who is going to follow this investigation where it goes. But the news couldn't have been better. And Joe, I don't know if you heard this or not. I talked about it very briefly in the 6 o'clock hour. But according to Mark Levin, I saw a tweet and I went back and gave a quick listen. He did not identify his source. He did not report it as a confirmed story yet. But he said, according to a source high up, one that he believes, Andrew McCabe was offered a plea bargain in order to cooperate in this investigation. He declined that offer. And the result was that prosecutor John Huber has filed a motion to open filed the papers to start a grand jury inquiry. So people like McCabe and Clapper and Comey and others are going to have to actually sit down under oath, answer some questions, or claim the Fifth Amendment protections that allow them to remain silent. This is going to be amazing. And we're a year away from the election, so there is plenty of time for all of this to get into the soul, the fabric of the country, in spite of the protective shield of CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, and everybody else.
Well, I believe there's plenty of time for Cory Gardner, too. And let me just say this. There was a reason that he had a 13-point deficit to Hickenlooper. He was missing part of his base. The base was not coming out in support of him. He needs to realize that his political lifeline is tied to Donald Trump. You know what? It's okay to say, mea culpa. I made a mistake. This is the fight of our life. I have to stand up as a senator and support not just Donald Trump, but the Republican Party and the United States of America. By supporting Donald Trump and inviting him into the state of Colorado as a supported Republican, Cory Gardner will ride a wave. Now, will he be able to overcome what he has done in the last 3 years? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well,
he's got a fighting chance.
Let's be careful about that, Joe, because in spite of times when Gardner has spoken out against the president, and occasionally, perhaps appropriately, his voting record in support of this president, and especially in support of his judicial nominees, has been extraordinary. Voted for the tax cuts. He's voted for 90%+ of the president's agenda. So we don't want to conflate support of the president where it matters in his votes with decisions he makes to separate or distance himself from the president on policy, perhaps as part of a political strategy to, draw more of those folks in the middle who just can't stand how radically left the Democrat candidates have become. But you're right.
I agree.
He's got
I agree
to
with you.
He's got to inspire his base.
He has an opportunity to do the about face with grace. It, just like Ronald Reagan said, it is a big tent. It's okay to disagree
80%.
On issues.
80. Let's have an 80% standard going into the next election.
But what's not okay is to allow an unconstitutional action to use the media to sway far leftists to gain to engineer a coup in our United States and overthrow the presidents because of their political whim.
Well, Joe, I don't know that what Pelosi's doing is unconstitutional, but it is completely oppositional to the precedent of prior impeachment investigations. It's contrary to the interests of the country, and it is great that Cory Gardner has signed on with 49 other U.S. senators. Only Pierre Dilecto from Utah and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Susan Collins from Maine, have refused to sign on so far. That is a very, very good thing. And I want to encourage everybody who understands that we don't have an alternative to Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner can win this election, to use positive messaging to the senator and his office and his everybody, social media, everywhere else, to encourage him to understand the importance. If he doesn't have his base, all of his efforts to try and reach the soccer moms, which people seem to think are oppositional to Trump or others, aren't going to matter. He's got to have the fired up base and the power of this presidency behind him in order to win here in the state of Colorado. Joe's line is open, 303-696-1971. Let's hear the end of this little bit of nervousness with James Clapper.
I just read the clip on about 20 minutes ago. I found the timing interesting, given the increasing heat around the impeachment inquiry. And so
this is what you're going to hear. Oh, my God. The president is weaponizing the Justice Department because they're getting closer to him on impeachment. Does president sound to you like he's nervous about impeachment right now? No, but Clapper sounds pretty nervous.
So the timing's interesting. I'll just let it go at that. And the other thing I wonder about is whether we're talking about the overall investigation of the Russian reporting on the Russian interference, or are we talking about the counterintelligence investigation that was launched in July by the FBI about potential engagement and collusion, whatever you want to call it, between the Russians and the Trump campaigns?
Yeah, James, what you should be asking is, am I really the target of this? Have all my underhanded backdoor shenanigans and leakings actually come under the scrutiny of the Justice Department that I used to control? Oh, my goodness, if you're James Clapper.
I'm very curious about what is the alleged criminal activity that prompted this.
Do you have any idea what they might think may rise to the level of a criminal offense?
No, I don't.
No. Certainly couldn't.
Obviously an item of great interest to me.
Certainly.
What is it that any of us did that would rise the level of a criminal infraction?
Criminal leaking, withholding relevant information from the FISA court, setting up honorable men like General Michael Flynn, who I predict is about to be vindicated as well. Man, I don't have time to get into the list because we've got to take a break. Full lines on the other side. We will do the best we can. I will be back on Tuesday filling in for Stephen Tubbs. So if we don't get to connect today, be sure and check in with me on Tuesday night as well. But right now we do have to take our final break of the show at 8:41 on your Saturday. I'm Randy Corporan here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710, KNUS.
All right, we've got full lines. We'll get right back to them. I just want you to hear the way Anderson Cooper summed up his interview with Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst, and James Clapper, one of the targets of the now criminal investigation into the origins of the Russia collusion delusion. Because I think it's very telling, and then we'll get to all of your calls.
One of the other big problems with this conspiracy theory is that, Mueller had two enormous indictments. One of, in the Internet Research Agency, using social media out of St. Petersburg to help the Trump campaign, and the other one to hack the Democrat DNC emails.
Mm-hmm. Two indictments of two Russians that will never step forth in a court of law. One company that was indicted by Mueller that did show up in court said, I'm ready. We're here. We're ready for trial. That prosecution went away pretty quietly.
Those are, they haven't been proved because the defendants haven't shown up in court. But those have nothing to do with Mifsud. How do you say his name?
Mifsud.
Yeah, never heard of him before.
So this has never made any sense.
Well, Jeff, CNN is reporting that the last week that some witnesses have refused to be interviewed. So now that this will allow them to compel testimony, won't it?
Well, it'll allow them to subpoena them. But you can always take the Fifth if someone subpoenas you.
But so they could not testify.
Here
they
it comes.
Could not, and now, you know, just to go ahead, they could give them immunity and force them to testify. So, I mean, there are ways the government can try to compel someone to give testimony. And a criminal investigation has more tools at its disposal than the inquiry, the status it was before.
All right, Jeff Toobin, thank you. Director Clapper as well. Thank you very much. Not what we originally planned to talk about, but certainly... looks like you're in the middle of this. Sorry,
maybe he said maybe he said Director Clapper. I thought he said George Clapper. I'll give Cooper the benefit of the doubt there. But this was when the news had just broken. They were incredibly nervous and stuttery about it, trying to stir up this. This is in retaliation. It's to take away from the impeachment investigation. So typical of this president, you're going to be hearing an awful lot of this. Joel wants to comment on James Clapper. Joel, we've only got a couple of minutes. I want to get to three calls, so make it quick, please, sir.
Yeah, Clapper's on contract with CNN, isn't he? I thought I remember reading that. I'm just wondering how he's going to respond, how CNN is going to respond once he's indicted, because I have very little doubt that he's going to be indicted. And everyone knew that that ultimately was going to be a part of the criminal investigation coming up now. But we knew all that was being prepped by the guy over at in Connecticut.
It's a great, great question, Joel. I'm going to jump. I will remind you, too, that Andrew McCabe is a CNN correspondent. He's under criminal investigation already for his behavior in the FBI. And he apparently, according to Mark Levin and a source, not confirmed yet, turned down a plea bargain offer. So the prosecutor is impaneling a grand jury. All of those folks, I mean, I guess that's where all the old criminals go to work, is right there at the Criminal News Network, CNN. Let's get to Janice with a comment on Pierre Delecto, otherwise known as U.S. Senator Mitt Romney. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, okay, remember how John McCain turned into a contrarian to stop President vote on the Affordable Care Act? So I think Mitt Romney's got the same mindset to be contrary to whatever President Trump does.
Sure. Well, I think you're absolutely right about that, Janice. Thank you very much. Mitt Romney, a huge disappointment. We didn't get into much conversations from the woman who called, I think it was Marilyn, about how she showed up for Romney at a rally. I spent personal time with Romney, not a great deal of it, but one-on-one conversation. Actually liked him, certainly supported him when he became the nominee in opposition to Barack Obama. Never believed he was, air quotes, severely conservative, as he referred to himself. And when Candy Crowley was able to take him out in a debate, you knew everything you needed to know about Mitt Romney. John McCain thumbs down on the full repeal of Obamacare in the U.S. Senate was a disgrace, and I agree with her on that as well. Let's squeeze in our final call, as promised, from Frank in Denver. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks again for all you do, Randy. My comment on Corey would be that in the end, he did the right thing. Second comment, question for you as a lawyer, what is the tipping point legally that allows the Justice Department to go ahead and change it to a criminal investigation?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the specific standard for that, but my guess would be, you know, they're looking for punishable administratively behavior when they're doing their investigation. Did people violate the administrative rules, the policies of the department in the way they leaked information or pursued investigations or whatever? And during the course of that administrative investigation, they found conduct from at least from underlings who they've been talking to a great deal of that rise to the level of a violation of a criminal statute. And I think it's very notable that they took such a great amount of time, have traveled around the world getting this information, and did it quietly without all the leaks before they announced that this was becoming a criminal investigation.
Maybe they want it irrefutable and right. My third comment is on the Democratic Party. I think of an acronym for them as company.
You only got about 10 seconds, Frank. I'm sorry.
They're organized, and they have people in high places, like the judges that just ruled. I'm afraid our bench is scattered with those people that are political activists and make the right call for the Dems.
Frank, we got to let it go right there, and I'm so very sorry. The music is playing. It's a hard break. I wanted to talk to you about Syria and some other important things, but fortunately, I'll be in for 3 more hours Tuesday filling in for Stephen Tubbs. Hope to see you at the big event Tuesday night with Michelle and Dennis. Craig Silverman is next. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, so do I.